right, are you ready for the word? Yeah. Stand to your feet. You've been sitting too long. My feet's going to hurt. Your feet's going to hurt a little. No, I'm joking. I'm just joking. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. Truly, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing. I thank you, Father, and that the anointing of heaven has been stirring in this place before we even shown up today. I thank you. Your plans are so amazing. Our eye has not seen, your word tells us. Our ear has not heard. Neither has entered our hearts or our thoughts, which you have prepared for us this day. But you're revealing them to us. I thank you, Father, as we walk in and experience today what you have for us. I thank you that blind eyes will be healed today. I speak to deaf ears to be healed today. Father, we believe that you are the God of the impossible. I speak to hearts that are not beating correctly to begin to come into the assignment and the alignment of the way you created them. We call the order of heaven into that body right now. Father, I thank you for people's digestion system that have been struggling and fighting with those complications. I thank you healing is coming into their intestines and their stomach. We thank you for healing. We thank you for restoration. I thank you, Father God. All attacks of the enemy against the minds of your people, whether it be depression, oppression, or anxiety, or fear, we curse and bind it. And I thank you that they're going to begin to experience what has already been prepared and provided and available to them today. We have the mind of Christ. We have the peace of God today. I speak that as a blanket over your people today. I speak the anointing of rest. We take your rest, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the spirit of rest. We thank you for this, the anointing of ease and simplicity for your spirit. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. We thank you, Father God. Lord, I just sense a sweet anointing going to rest upon your people today, bringing healing into their body, healing into that vascular system, those veins. I command them to quit collapsing and be healed right now. We thank you, Father God. You are the healer, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise and the glory. I curse of my nightmares and night terrors. You spirit of fear, we rebuke you off the lives of any person in this house today. We thank you, Father God, that you are more than enough, Father God. So we speak a financial blessing. And where the devourer has been stealing, killing, destroying, I thank you. You'll open the minds and the understanding of the people that need it and show them where the enemy has been taking advantage of them. We thank you so they can close the door. We give you praise. Lord, we have not come religiously. We have not come out of routine. We have come to do your bidding. We have come to experience heaven's best. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We, according to Mark 11, 23, 24, I decree, declare, we believe, we receive the benefits of the obedience of Jesus in all of our lives. Not by our works, but by his works. By grace through faith, we believe we receive all of the benefits of the obedience of Jesus in our lives today, right now. We thank you for that. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone shouted. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Greet 2-3 people. You may be seated. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but I refer to him as Dad Hagen, Kenneth Hagen from Tulsa, Oklahoma, who's in heaven and has been there many years, is one, in my opinion, one of the great spiritual generals. I think there's a human tendency for people in general to look for the newest and latest and the greatest, and that's important. But I think it's also very important not to lose the foundational truths that great men and women of God have taught and received from heaven many years ago. I think it's good to keep what they've said and what God used them available in our lives. And this particular minister is one of my favorites. I have certain different key people that I listen to. David Oyedepo out of Lagos, Nigeria, is alive today. And I believe, in my opinion, you can disagree, I believe he is one of the greatest men of God on the planet today. If you do not know who he is, you need to know who he is. Lagos, Nigeria, David Oyedepo. He's got a church that seats 53,000 seats. And he does 4 services a Sunday. And there's more people outside the building than inside the building. in a third world country. But I think sometimes we can get so caught up with where we're going that we can lose sight of some foundational truths, some great men and women of God. And so Kenneth Hagin is one I encourage you to also listen to. And anytime there's somebody who's going to do something great for the kingdom of God, let me just take a sidestep. There will always be people that will like them and people that don't like them. It is what it is. If you want everybody to like you, then be prepared not to do much in life. Because the moment you do something for God, there'll be people that like you and some devils out there that don't like you. And those devils have influence on some people, and they'll use people's comments or words and tell lies about you. So don't worry about the lies. You always judge and challenge everything with the word. That's our culture around here. Don't even take my word for it. Challenge everything with the word. Man, I sense a different anointing today. It's kind of a little, we'll see where we go with this. We'll let the Holy Spirit. So anyway, one of his messages, he talks about how there's a period of his ministry where he was pastoring, and he had gone to visit somebody that was in that area. There was a farmer, and as they were talking, the gentleman that he was visiting all of a sudden began to drop to his knees in pain, and he reached to grab him, and the guy said, no, don't touch me. He goes, it'll be fine in a few minutes, and then he finally got up, and he goes, oh, I guess that pain's back. And he said, what are you dealing with? He goes, oh, I just have this pain in my back and pain in different parts of my body. And he said, didn't I pray with you a while back? And he goes, yeah, about 8 months ago. And he goes, when you prayed for me, all the pain left. And for 8 months, I haven't had any pain. But just recently, I started feeling that pain again. And Brother Hagin said, I'll tell you what probably happened. He goes, you probably were doing something and felt a symptom, and you begin to say out of your mouth, oh, I thought I was healed. I guess that pain's back. I guess God didn't heal me. And the guy said, that's exactly what I said. And he goes, well, when you begin to open your mouth and speak out of what you believed in conflict, you've just opened the door for that thing to come back into your life. And the guy responded and said, well, I don't believe that. He goes, I believe if God ever does something, then I'll never lose it. He said, what? He said, if it was of God and God healed me, I don't think I would ever lose it. And he said, well, he goes, you know, it's interesting you believe that, but you know, you have to feel sorry for poor Jesus. He didn't know that. When we get to heaven, we'll have to help Jesus out. He didn't realize that. Because in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, excuse me, verse 11, Revelation 3, verse 11, Jesus said, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. He's talking to the church. He told them what? Hold on to it. Look to your neighbor and say, hold on to it. We started a series a couple of Sundays ago, and we didn't call it hold on to it. We called it mine. Just like a little kid who's playing and someone wants to take one of their toys to play with it. What's the natural instinct of a child? They grab onto it tightly and turn and say, no, mine. And yet we learn in the church world a lot of emphasis is taught in the principle of sowing and releasing. And that's imperative. That's important for us. And we did several messages on that important thought. Because we have to learn to release what God is doing in us. You are blessed to be a blessing. Freely receive, freely give. What God's doing in you, let him do it through you. And that will impact your life. Instead of looking for people to pour into you, look for, even though you might have a need of some nature, look for God to use you to help other people. Amen. Even if it's in the same need. And sometimes it's even better. So if you're discouraged, don't look for the right people that always encourage you. They might not be in a good mood that day, or they might be struggling, or they might not be around, and then you feel like, oh, I'm struggling. No, there's a next level. Say next level. See, you can play high school basketball all you want, but when you get to March Madness phase, come on, somebody, the game's a different level. It might look the same, but it's being played a little differently. And once you get there, if you want to make it to the NBA, guess what? It's the next level again. And that game, even though it's still basketball and a hoop and rules and points, it is played differently. And so some of us, nobody here, some of us in the church world have a tendency of, we learn the game, for illustration, we learn the game of basketball or serving God at a certain level, and we think it's worked here, we should stay here. But God will invite us. The Holy Spirit will invite us with his word and truth, invite us to the next level. And there is that next level. So if you're looking for someone to encourage you, stop looking for them. Look for somebody that you can encourage. You'll pray, God, I need encouragement today. And God will send somebody depressed to you. And you're thinking, they're not going to help me. And God says, you don't understand. They're going to help you more than you realize. Because I don't want them to pour into you momentarily. I want you to tap into something that is eternal on the inside of you. For out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit. And so God can pour through you something to help them. And as God's pouring that anointing and word through you to help them, you too can be blessed. That's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother level. When you understand that, you'll understand that that rhythm flows no matter if it's finances or joy or peace or comfort or encouragement. All you need to do is find God, let God use you, and you're look and see opportunities for him to use you, and he's not going to use you but bless you. So that's the one side. The flip side of that coin is when God is blessing you and what God's doing in you, the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10, the thief has come to steal. Say steal. We have visualized the enemy not only bigger than he actually is, and I don't want to do a message on the devil, but the Bible's very specific that one day when we all stand before the throne of God and the nations of the world that will stand before the great white throne judgment, or that they will look at the devil who will eventually stand and kneel before the great white throne. And the world, and the Bible says the nations of the world will be amazed at how such an insignificant figure had imprisoned the minds of generations. So you won't be going, wow, the devil, look how big he is. They're going to be like, really? I don't see Jesus ever being intimidated by the devil anywhere. Someone say amen to that. And so he comes to steal, and this is a quick review, but to steal means to take something of value. So the enemy's tactic in people's lives is not to give them something they don't want. It's to take something of value. To take something of value, even if you're not aware of the value. A thief doesn't care if you don't understand that watch you have is really worth $10,000. They're going to try to get it from you. Oh, that's my dad's old watch. It's got so many memories. It's sentimental. I don't care what sentimental means. They're looking at it's a value. I want to steal it from you. So the thief doesn't try to give you sickness. He tries to take health. And that's the whole context of this series, is learning to realize that he's gotten, and we saw this last week, that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already done it. He's already done it. He did it on the cross of Calvary. He did it on the cross of Calvary. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God who saw your need before you knew there was a need, backed up on the timeline of what we call time, and on the cross of Calvary, made a way, made provision. He has prepared a table for you, the Bible says, in the midst of your enemies. So you can wait to heaven to get everything God has for you, or you can begin to understand what Jesus meant when he told them to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it... Come on, somebody. And so learning to have a good defense, a good offense and defense, is very important. This is a military. I love thinking tactically, strategically, just the way I'm wired, if it's a game of chess or if it's military war. Because if you have no weapons, I know there's a lot of people with bumper stickers that say, can't we all just love each other and get along? No. You can't. History has proven if you have riches but no military, you're about to be invaded. Because regardless of what generation, what group of people, what nationality, what country, there's always good people and evil people, and there's people that want what you got. And why? Because that's the way the devil flows. He tries to steal. And so God didn't leave us without weapons. God did not leave us without the ability to resist the devil. Can I get an amen? And resisting the devil is more than just saying, I resist you. Because some of us have resisted him and didn't see much change. But God wants you to know that he has empowered you. Can I get an amen? He has empowered you. He has given you all things. He has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. And he didn't give it to you so you pass it on to the devil. He didn't give it to you so you can lose it on the way. He didn't give it to you. And if you're dealing with something today, I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm saying you're a real person. Welcome to life. Jesus said, in this world, you'll deal with trials and tribulation, but he didn't leave you there. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. If he overcame and he wants you to be excited about it, it means that he's provided a victory for you in his victory. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's not be of good cheer and just because I have it and you can just watch me from afar. That's like someone saying, oh, you should be so excited. You just talked to your boss and they fired you, and your neighbor calls you and says, oh, it's good day, good day, good day. I got a huge raise. Aren't you excited for me? No, you're not real excited for them. Why? Because it didn't benefit you. But when Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome, he wasn't saying, just like it because it's the right thing. He's saying, you have to understand there is victory within me. You can do all things through Christ. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. So regardless of a battle that you might be in, I'm here to tell you today, having done all according to the word of God, having done all, stand your ground. There might be winds and storms blowing against your house, but if your house is built on the word, you will outlast the storm. You might be a physical attack, a marital attack, emotional attack. I'm not saying you're a bad person or who wonder what caused it. We gotta quit trying to figure out who caused it and learn to shut the door and say, devil, I don't care how you got in, you have to go. If someone walks into your house, you don't interview all your children and family to figure out who invited or who let them in. If you know that they're not invited and supposed to be there, what do? You deal with the problem at hand. You let the person know, I'm sorry, you have to go, and I'm calling the police, I'm calling the authority, and you got a few minutes to get out of here. We don't have to sit there and try to figure, oh, I wonder. That's a human nature thing. Whose fault? Who did this? Them or their parents? Too many times we get caught up on trying to find who's the fault instead of finding who's the solution. I like that. I'm going to say that again. Don't let the devil get you caught up thinking about who's the fault. You need to focus on who's the solution. And when the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy, when he knocks on your door, Jesus said in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice, he didn't say, if you hear my knocking. He said, if you hear my voice. We teach children, I've said this before, you teach kids if someone's knocking, what do you ask? Who's there? Who is it? Why? Because you want to know before you unlock the door, who's on the other side. Jesus didn't say, if you hear me knocking open. He said, if you hear my voice. Many people open up the doors of their life when they hear someone knocking. And I'm here to tell you, in the church world, everything is guilty until proven innocent. We are to walk in love toward people, but every idea, everything that knocks, that comes down the road, comes down the wind in the river and just says, oh, adopt this ideology. You don't have to adopt it just because you heard it. Just because someone told you. We challenge everything to make sure it lines up with the word of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. People say this and, oh, this is the way it is. Where's the chapter and verse to this? Where's the chapter and verse to this? I was going through YouTube and I came across a video. And you know, I've shared this before. We're all growing. Never outgrow growth. And, you know, and this person, they seem like a nice person. I don't know them, so I won't say their name. But their video tactic on YouTube as an influencer was to take videos of other preachers and rip them apart. So that's their method. And typically, I just ignore all that stuff. And this particular day, I just happened to watch this. And I found myself, I just had to turn it because the old me wanted to come out. The old me that I thought I had buried that long time ago. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I grew up in Castle Point. The old me wanted to do some stuff. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but don't worry about it. Some of you know exactly where. Come on. And I found, help me, Jesus. And so, And because a part of my temperament is I love to debate. And the Lord had to really work that out of me because I would get in arguments with people just for fun. And I would get in arguments with people and I would know I was wrong. I just want to see how good I could argue. Because it's a exercise. It's a strategy. It's like playing chess. I just want to see. So I would literally take positions that I knew would stir the pot. I just want to see if they... And the Bible does say study to show yourself approved, but that's really not the right thing to do. And so, but he started talking, and it just started irritating me because everything he said sounded nice, but it was totally unscriptural. He wasn't given a Bible verse for anything. He said, look at these preachers. They try to tell you, they preach that God needs you to give before he can bless you. God doesn't need you to give for him to bless you. Now, we're not taking up an offering, so just chill out. I'm already in this mood, so just chill out. I was like, where is that in the Bible? That's not in the Bible at all. The Bible literally says, give and it shall be given. God, you're saying, well, God can do anything. God will never override his word, Psalms 119. He's elevated his word above his name. So what does he do? It sounds good what he's saying, but it's unscriptural. And if we're not careful, we'll be like James, that we adopt every wind of doctrine and it throws our boat back and forth because someone looks good or they sound good or they have a lot of influence or a lot of followers and go, ooh, that's an interesting idea. Maybe they're right. And then you have to ask yourself, stop, step back and say, wait a minute, what was the Bible reference they used? Without the word is the final authority. The word is the plumb line. Your opinion doesn't match or matter if it doesn't line up with the word. It's okay to tell ourselves, listen, I need to shut up and listen a little bit because I've always thought this, but I have no Bible verse, or I take a verse out of context that's not in the word of God in context. Don't give me an Old Testament verse about the nature of God. We go to the New Testament. We go to the life of Jesus. Hebrews 1 and John 1 both tell us that he is the expressed image of the invisible God. Jesus is. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So don't tell me some event that happened in the Old Testament and try to make it a storyline and fit into a narrative that makes people want to applaud you. Get to the word of God. And you can't find me a scripture where Jesus was stealing, killing, or destroying. Show me a scripture where Jesus put leprosy on somebody. You can't. I'll show you scriptures where Jesus healed people of leprosy. Come on, somebody. First John chapter 3 tells us this. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. For this reason, here's one of the reasons, here's the purpose that Jesus was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might destroy the works. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Here's another verse, because Peter tells us, by two or three witnesses let everything be established. So we just don't take anybody's word for it, because they even give one verse. Challenge it. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing those who were oppressed by the enemy. Jesus, when he healed on the Sabbath, they said, how dare you heal this woman on the Sabbath? And he said, listen, if you have a donkey or an animal that falls in a pit or gets injured, wouldn't you take him out even if it's on the Sabbath? How much more this daughter of Abraham should be untied from this infirmity that came from the devil? What am I telling you? I'm telling you, all you have to understand is everything that the devil uses is because of what Adam did and brought humanity under the curse of sin. Deuteronomy 28, look it up. Just read those chapters, 28, 20, and find out what is the benefit of obeying God and what is the curse of disobeying God. And the purpose of the curse, I don't know why I'm going down this road. Maybe someone needs to hear it. I believe there's more than one. And the purpose of the curse is never to instruct or to educate or improve. The Bible says, and these, if you disobey me, here's the curses. And these curses will overtake you until you are destroyed. Sickness is under the curse. Lack and poverty under the curse. Now, if you're dealing with sickness, it doesn't mean you're cursed. I'm telling you that what I'm trying to draw attention to, if you're struggling financially, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. What I want to awaken to, because faith, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So what am I telling you? When those things knock on the door or try to get into your life, you don't have to accept them. You can refuse them. You can fight them. And you can say, I am not accepting that doctor's report. I am not accepting that cancer report. I'm not accepting that leukemia report. In the name, that just jumped in my spirit. In the name of Jesus, whoever's here that's been diagnosed with leukemia, I curse and bind it in the name of Jesus, and I speak a healing over your life. You do not have to accept it. You do not have to accommodate it. You can stand your ground and resist it. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But John 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We'll throw that on the screen. John 1, 1 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word, verse 14, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So we find from this passage then, according to the Word of God, that Jesus is not only the Son of God, He is the Word of God. He is the living Word. God gave us the written Word so that we can understand and know the living Word, so that we can understand and know the heart of the Father. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus is the living Word. And the written Word reveals the living Word. So when people pop off about opinions, oh, God doesn't need you to do anything to heal you or to deliver you or to touch, he doesn't need to bless you. No, He's got it. He's all powerful. He is all powerful. Don't misunderstand me. He is all powerful. Yet, He has established the covenant of His Word and made it a priority. And He has leased this world, this dimension, to Adam, or humanity. And Adam subjugated is a legal term, but Adam submitted himself under the devil, bringing the devil as an authority. But Jesus took back the spiritual authority. And one day, just like a lease of a car, one day the owner, the leasing company, is going to call you if you lease a car and say, or send you a nice letter and say, it's time to give back the car. It's really ours. You told everybody else it was yours. But we know, and you know, it's not yours. It's ours. And we want it back now. Matthew 24, one day the Father knows because He owns everything. But He leased it to Adam, who gave it to the devil. And Jesus came and took the spiritual authority, the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil and gave it back to us in the church. Amen. For Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So we now have authority. We now have authority. Yet there's still stuff going on. Why does God allow stuff to happen? Because He put us in charge. If something happens, it doesn't mean it's the will of God. If something happens, I had a sister who had a little baby that died. Someone told us God wanted another flower. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God does not kill children. Why did this person get attacked? Why was that person raped? Why did God allow it? God didn't allow it. It wasn't God. God gave us the authority. We still live in this side of eternity, and the devil still has where he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And he walks around, roams around like a lion, but he's not a lion. You are a lion. Did you hear me? You are a lion. I don't feel like a lion. That's your problem. How do I know that? Because Jesus, the Bible says, is a lion of the tribe of Judah. And if we are part, we are called His brethren, His brothers. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And you can't be a brother of a lion unless you are one. See, you might not feel it, you might not be aware of it, but the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's what we're doing. We're just pumping the word into you, pumping the word into you. It's not me. It's the word of God. It's not my words. It's God's word that carries power. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. As you keep hearing them, you might think, I don't know, but eventually you stay around under the teaching of the word of God, under the anointing of God, it will begin to open your eyes and get you a perspective of revelation. I don't need you to think the way I need you, the way I think. We all need to think the way God thinks. We need to think the way Jesus thinks. We need to think in alignment with the word. And if you haven't changed recently, maybe you stopped your journey. Because I don't know about you, I keep growing. The Lord keeps revealing the word of God. He keeps speaking the word of God. And in the journey, in the place, and the time I need it, he'll reveal it to me, what I need to know. There's power in that word. Many years ago, when my daughter was born, Logan, who's a senior in high school and getting ready to graduate. Amen. But when some of you are just haters because you didn't graduate. No, I'm joking. Please don't teach that. I'm just joking. Just seeing if you're listening to me. But she came early, and so I've told this story before, but it's still a great story. And so she spent several weeks in the NICU. And one of the things we learned in the NICU is they would have Kim, my wife, hold Logan skin to skin. They called it kangarooing. Some of you have heard this, some have maybe never heard of it. I had never heard of it. And we're like, why? And the medical doctors and nurses told us, when the mother holds the baby and embraces that baby skin to skin, that physical contact, that intimacy, that physical contact, that Kim's body, without even Kim knowing it, Kim's body is able to identify and detect what's missing in Logan's body. Come on. And puts in her milk exactly what she needs for that day. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. What am I telling you? As you're making connection with God in a real relationship with Jesus, I don't know about you, I am tired of religion. I am tired of a bunch of legalistic people trying to tell you if you're right or wrong. You got the Holy Ghost, he'll tell you. The Bible says that if we have a clear conscience, then we can have boldness with God. I'm tired of people trying to control and manipulate other people. I'm tired of just going in and out on a Sunday and nothing changing. If this is what God is, there's got to be something more. No wonder there's people that don't go to church and burn out on church, because after a few years of I'm just going and nothing changing, I'd be frustrated too. But when you make a real contact, a real relationship with a real Jesus, somebody I know is in this room knows what I'm talking about. When you make a real connection with the real Jesus, I'm telling you, he can make a word come, and you might be reading, not realizing that you're getting ready to read a verse that's coming alive, and it'll be the verse you need. Why? Because he knows what you need today. It's not just you reading the Bible to check off a chapter, but it's you getting in the Word and experiencing God, and let the Holy Spirit show you. He will give you a DNA. He will give you a tailor-made what you need at the moment message. It will be a word in due season. If he can use you to be a word in due season to other people, how much more from heaven? And the Spirit of God will reveal. Jesus said, flesh and blood, Peter, hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is heaven. The Bible said, like we quoted earlier, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is into the heart of men, but God, what God has prepared for those who love him, but he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. There's something about, I've got to get in the Word. Don't start in Genesis, get in the New Testament. Get into the letters written to the church. Feed off what's being spoken to us today. And as you're reading it, look for the Spirit of God to reveal something. You don't need 10 chapters. You just need one word. You might read 10 or 20 chapters to get to that word. But once you get to that one word, hang on to that word today. Write it down. Highlight it. Date it. Mark it. Pray it. Memorize it. Speak it. Get a hold of that word. Because that word you have is for you that day. Because before you knew there would be an enemy knocking on the door. Before the devil knew he was going to knock on your door. The God who sees, the Bible says, the end equally from the beginning. The God who is in all dimensions, all time frame. The God who knows everything. The God who knows and cares and has numbered the hairs on your head. The God who, Jesus said, sees a little bird fall from the tree and then goes on to say, how much more important are you to the, than that even that bird? Your Father sees you. Your Heavenly Father knows you. Your Heavenly Father loves you. And if you allow Him to make a connection as you proceed toward Him. James says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Why are you drawing near? Because I need a word today. I need heaven to speak to me. I need an encouragement. I need guidance. And when I get into the word, something's about to change. What's about to change? Catch this. For the Bible again says, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifested. For this reason was the Son of Man manifested. We thought many times in the church world, nobody here, that the goal was a goosebump. Man, if I can just feel a little encouragement, a little emotional pick-me-up. Ooh, I got hairs on my head. Ooh, look, it's a good day. I'm telling you, you are way below what God is doing in your life. There is so much more. For this purpose, remember that verse, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifested or revealed that He might destroy the works of the devil. In the same way, in the world of logic, I remember in college taking this class of logic and language. If one equals the other, then I could interchange them. Yeah. And since the Word and Jesus are the same, we can interchange them. Yeah. I've never preached this before. I've never heard anybody else preach this. Right. But this is what the Lord dropped on my heart for you today. Yeah. Tailor-made words for somebody today. Yeah. So if they're equal, then I can interchange them. So if for this reason was the Son of Man manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil, I'm going to interchange it because I can't, because they're equal. Therefore, I can say, for this reason is the Word of God manifested in your life. Yes. That you might destroy the works of the devil. Yes. Now, I don't want to just stay with logic. I need more than one, because two or three witnesses. So what is the other? Give me another verse, Pastor. Because you've trained us to know, to ask, what's another verse to that? I just don't want to go off by one. That could get you in some weird doctrine. So give me another verse. Let me give you another verse. The Bible says, having done all, and as you keep going through the armor of God, eventually you're going to get to, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is anybody in the room today? I'm telling you, the word that you have in your heart and the word that's coming out of your mouth, it carries some weight. If they had the weapon, they would say, and take the shotgun of the Holy Ghost. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So when the Word is revealed to you, what He is doing is giving you a weapon. He is giving you a weapon. Why do you need a weapon? Because you're going to deal with some people. You're going to deal with some stuff. You're going to deal, not the natural people. You're going to deal where the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Am I speaking to anybody? He gives you a weapon so that when He knocks on your door, now you can't do this in the legal world, so let me clarify this. Because the law is, if you ever unload on your shotgun on somebody, you got to make sure you see them and your life is threatened. So put that to the side. But in the spiritual world, if someone knocks on my door and I say, who is it? And that I don't hear the voice of Jesus. Come on, somebody. And I recognize, because Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and a voice of another, they will not follow. We've been waiting for the Lord to lead us. He's waiting for us to learn how to follow. Come on, somebody. We got to get skilled in following the Holy Ghost. We got to improve on, oh, Lord, lead me. He's been leading the whole time. We got to get better at following. So if I hear someone knocking on my door, call it a bad doctor's report. Call it a bad gossip message. Call it a fear that whispers in my ear. Oh, that pain's bad. Whatever it might be, if it's out of alignment with the word of God, then it's out of alignment with the voice of God. And if it's out of alignment, I don't even need to unlock my door. I'm getting my double barrel shotgun from heaven called the Word of God, and I'm going to unload a few through the door, and the devil won't see it coming. All he knows is he's going the wrong way. Are you listening today? You don't have to say, well, let's talk about it. Can we write it out and discuss it? Can we come to an agreement? Can we meet halfway? You don't have to meet the devil halfway. You're the lion. And the lion doesn't make a truce with no enemy. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You say, well, that's not how I see it. You gotta get, in Romans says, if we're gonna be people, men and women of faith, we can't be moved by what we feel, hear, and see. We have to get to the place of understanding that facts change, truth is eternal. Well, I'm just saying the truth. You are saying the situational fact, and that can and will change. They all hate me. That is not the truth. That is a temporary fact. Oh, I got a bad doctor's report. That is a situational fact, but it can change. For those who love to study the Old Testament, look at all the times in the Old Testament where you'll see the phrase, and the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto me. The word of the Lord came unto me. In the Hebrew, the word of the Lord is not several words. It's one word. It's a hyphenated word. And in the Hebrew, it's Dabar Yahweh. Dabar Yahweh. It is a hyphenated word, and it is simultaneously a verb, which is an action. Now we're going back to English 101. I apologize for that. It is an action word, a verb, and it's also a noun simultaneously. How could a word be action and a noun, a verb and a noun? Because when God says it, let me tell you, if the living word Jesus walked into this room and manifested like he did in Acts and begin to look at all of you and say, I'm glad to see you here on this Tuesday morning. Some of you would say, no, you made a mistake. It's Sunday morning. And you would grab your calendar. But the moment you moved, you're too late. Because the moment he said, it's Tuesday morning. Do you see what I'm saying? God, when he looked into the infinite darkness in Genesis, he didn't say what he didn't want it to be. He spoke to what it was going to be. And he said, light. Because when the word speaks, it becomes it. It's the seed, the DNA of heaven, the DNA of the Father. When he speaks it, that's why Isaiah 55, verse 9 says that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens from the earth, so are his thoughts and our ways. And as heaven and earth, as it rains and snows from heaven and earth, and snows and rains from heaven, and waters the earth, and makes it produce. I love that phrase in King James. It makes it do it. It makes it. That means it doesn't give a vote. The earth doesn't get a chance. It doesn't have an option. It's like when you tell your child, sit down. I don't want to sit down. I didn't ask you if you want to. Sit down. You make them. It makes the natural dimension do something. What does it make the natural dimension do? It makes it line up with a spiritual dimension. It makes it line up with the will of God. It makes it line up with the order of God. What am I telling you? Our King of Kings, he is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords, and he's got an order. How does the king operate? And when you understand that you are his child, you can as you submit yourself, the Bible says, under the hand of God, as you submit to him, then resist. What am I doing? What are you doing as you speak the word? You are calling the order of heaven into that situation. And though the doctor says one thing, the doctor's not the final. We love doctors. Dr. Rob's right over there. I said, we love doctors in the medical field, but they're not the final authority. There is a great physician that's greater than all physicians combined. And his name is Jesus. When the banker says you're devastated, you'll never get out of this, that's not the final. What am I trying to get to? We have adopted the message of man as the final message. Nobody here. But we'll become overwhelmed because of what someone said as a final, like a lawyer, and hits that gavel and says, done. Over. But the Bible says, judge nothing before it's time. The Bible says, there is therefore no condemnation or condemning sentence to those who are in Christ Jesus. What am I saying? The devil might be trying to condemn you. The devil might be trying to terrorize you. The devil might be trying to give you a bad medical report. The devil might be trying to destroy your marriage. The devil might be trying to destroy your mind. The devil might get you to the point of you're thinking, why do I want to even live? But I'm here to tell you today, be free, for whom the Son is set free is free indeed. And all things are possible to him who believes. There is no final that is over God. He is the final authority. He is the highest court. He is the highest jurisdiction. And when his word says it, it goes, because the moment he's released it. Come on, if you believe that, give him a praise. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to give you three parts. Direct, declare, demand. Say direct, direct. Declare, declare. Demand. Demand. Say direct, direct. Declare, declare. Demand. Demand. Direct, who are you talking to? Mark 11 says, when you speak to the mountain. When Jesus was talking to the fig tree, he answered the fig tree. When he spoke to the winds. When he spoke not to just people. He spoke to situations, and he spoke to spiritual influences. Know who you're dealing with. When the devil tells you, I don't know how you're going to get out of this one. It's over. You're ruined. It's done. And fear begins to creep. Know who you're dealing with. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. You can submit to that fear, and the Bible says that fear has torment. Or you can say, wait a minute, I'm going to step into that place called power, that place called love, and a sound mind. And you can say to that demon, you demon of fear, I recognize who you are. I bind you, because Matthew 18:18 says, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, what we loose on earth is loose in heaven. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell him where to go. Let him know that you know. Why? Because the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Through the pulling down of strongholds. We got to get our thoughts and our words lined up. The Bible says we don't war after the flesh or people, but we war after the realm of the Spirit. Let the devil know that you're no longer fighting that person on the other cubicle that's been giving you a hard time. There's a spiritual influence, and enough's enough. That spirit of strife's got to go. There's not a demon behind every rock, so keep everything in the middle of the road. Don't go to extremes. You try to bind your boss, and he's getting on you because you didn't show up for 2 days. That gets weird. Don't get weird. Say direct. So let the devil know that you know who he is and where he's at, and you're taking authority over him. Amen. Then declare. Declare what the word of God is. You say, you spirit of fear, I curse. I know, I recognize you. I curse and bind you in the name of Jesus. The word of God says, be anxious for nothing. Amen. Philippians 4:6. Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. So if the word demands and commands me not to be anxious, I'm going to obey the word regardless of what my emotions are trying to tell me. I'm going to what we call do the word. Let the devil know you're not giving up, because God's commanded you not to be afraid, commanded you not to have anxiety, commanded you. What do you say? I, the word of God says, do not be anxious for anything. And then let him know the declaration. So I'm keeping my peace today. I'm not giving it up. You're staying outside. I'm not giving up that joy. I'm not giving up love. I'm not getting out of love. No, I don't care what they said. I'm not getting in fear. Nope, I'm going to keep my love. I'm going to keep my joy. I'm going to keep my healing. Sorry, devil. You say, it don't work that way. It does work that way when you tap into it. As long as it's just an idea, it won't. But when you get into the word and he reveals that word to you, it becomes your sword. And when you pull out that sword, it's got a beautiful sound and a powerful impact. I love shotguns. You don't have to be accurate with a shotgun. God forbid someone not get into your house. All they have to do is hear, and they know it's over. The moment you begin to speak the word of God, that demon knows it's over. That circumstance knows things are changing. And it doesn't mean he might not try to come back from time to time just to make sure. That's what happens in the church world, especially like in our camps where we believe in the supernatural and the gifts of the Spirit. People receive something from God and they think, oh, I received it. I don't have to think about it anymore. But the devil will try to come back. And you have to develop your faith, do the word, speak the word. And when he begins to try to whisper in your ear saying, it's not going to work, say, too late. I know what this is. This is not me. I don't accept this. Devil, you're a liar. I'm going to stay with the truth. I'm going to stay with my healing. I know what the doctor said. But I'm telling you, the word overrides what the doctor's saying. I'm not saying get off your medicine and ignore your doctor. Not at all. Because if God's doing it, the doctor can scratch his head and say, I don't know what's going on. We had one guy who came through and got prayed for, and he had some problems with his heart, damaged heart, pacemaker, all these meds, got prayed for, went to the doctor, and doctor said, well, I'll be right back. I need to get another doctor. And he thought, oh, no, that's never a good sign. When the other doctor came in, looked at the report and go, And he's like, what's wrong, doc? What's happening? Because our minds go to the worst. That's how the devil works. God loved the medical field. All the one that says, we saw something on your screening. We need to have a meeting with you to talk about this. It's very severe. Are you available in 2 months? What do you mean 2 months? You're going to wait 2 months wondering what they're going to. And he looked at him and he said, doctor, what's the matter? He goes, well, I've heard of this happening, but it doesn't happen too often. He goes, what? He goes, your heart's actually repairing itself. We're going to take you off that pacemaker. We're going to take you off all those drugs. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, the word works. The word works. It's just not the written word, but the word, written word reveals the living word. The word works. Heaven and earth will pass away before God's word will fail. Isaiah 55:11, as the word goes forth, it will not return void. It'll accomplish that to which it's sent. What am I telling you? The word works. The devil will tell you that this church stuff is just the spiritual fun stuff on Sundays, but it doesn't have any authority on Mondays. I'm telling you, everything that has a name must bow its name to the name of Jesus, for God has elevated him far above all principality, all power. Don't do it because I say it. Get the word in yourself. Get it. You have to get the sword in your hand. And when you do, I'm telling you, the word works. Your marriage is not over. Your death sentence is not finalized. The devil does not have rights to torment you. You can sleep great with peace at night. I'm telling you, all that belongs to you because of Jesus. I don't want what I can do. I want everything that he's done. I want the benefits of what Jesus' obedience brings. Because if the curse came under disobedience, like we said earlier, Galatians 3 tells us that cursed is everyone hangs on the tree, that Jesus became a curse for us. Why? So that we can inherit, have the access to everything that belonged to him out of his obedience. So I got to quit looking, what do I deserve? It's not what do you deserve. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. That is a covenant phrase of salvation or saved. That means all that belongs. I know I'm going long and you might be tired, but I'm starting to have fun right now. So you can sit down and be quiet. I'm going somewhere. If even it's me and Jesus on a train, I don't care. You can leave. I'll still be here. I'm telling you that the word works. The word works. The word works. Heaven and earth will pass away before that word will fail. It's like going somewhere. It's been sent. You might not think you need it, but let me talk to somebody who's been on the side of the door of death sentence and tells the doctor, tells you you're about to die and there's no remedy. I'm here to tell you the word works and you shall not die, but decree. That's what the Bible says. You will not die, but live and declare the works of God. You were just healed. How long you were dealing with? What were you dealing with? Arthritis. For how many years? 5-6 years. And got prayed for. And you're healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to keep preaching this. I'm going to keep saying this. I'm going to keep declaring it because it's not Greg Bruce. It's not even Hope Church. It's the word of Almighty God who lives and abides forever. And we're the Rhema. We're the word where revelation abides. Miracles manifest. Hallelujah. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a testimony of a guy who started dealing with cataracts and lost all his vision. Scar tissue, and was on, there he is right there. Wave your hand so that people know him. And was on the transplant list. Got prayed for, and the power of God hit him. And what the world could not do, what people cannot do, the God that you serve, this Jesus we talk about, I'm telling you, I love him so much. He is so real. Don't let the devil tell you that he's a historical event. Don't let the world tell you that it's just an idea for you to be a self-help better person. This is not a club. This is a life. It is a family. This is a new creation. And he got prayed for, and he went back to the doctor. But he said, something's different. And they're like, what? He goes, I can see now. And they checked through the equipment and said, the scar tissue's dissolving. The cataract's dissolving. We're going to take you off the transplant list. I wouldn't get that surgery if I was you. He said, I don't want it. He can see now. He's driving now. He's going to work now. Why? Because the God of more than enough, he is El Shaddai. He is the God of more than enough. What you cannot understand is still easy for him. When you come to impossibility, he's just starting. I'm going to give him praise because there's no demon in hell that can stop him. There's no darkness that can dim his light. There is no power that can diminish his power. He is God and God alone, and there is none like you. We do not serve a weak God fighting a big devil. You are more than enough. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Which means you, the devil's so diminished you don't even need to recognize him. Some of us wake up wondering what the devil's going to do that day. You need to wake up saying, good morning, Heavenly Father. What's the plan for today? What is the plan? That's why we keep saying that faith confession. He is the God of the impossible, and he's doing the impossible for you today, because I want you to walk throughout the day not afraid of what the enemy's trying to do, because no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises, the Bible says, and every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. You condemn it. You condemn it. You condemn it. For this is your right, your heritage, and your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You can't sit by and say, God, deal with it. He said, you deal with it. Let me mess with your theology a little bit. Find me a New Testament scripture, New Covenant Testament scripture, where it tells you or you're instructed to pray to God to deal with the devil. You will not find one verse. Because under the New Testament, that authority's been given to you. The Bible tells you to resist, you to speak, you to bind. Why? Because you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. But I don't feel strong. Well, good. There's a scripture for that. Let those who are weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. What am I doing? I'm speaking the word. It's Matthew 13, a seed that produces fruit after its own kind. I don't have to know the journey. I don't have to know the steps. I don't know how he's going to do it. But I begin to praise him and decree his word is finalized in my life. So be it unto me according to your word. Did Mary say, we need to live a life. So be it unto me. according to your word. Even if I don't understand it, if you reveal it to me, I'm taking it. Hallelujah. Woo. Say, he's the God of the impossible. Come on, shout, he's the God of the impossible. If you act like a wimp in here, you will never act like a giant killer out there. This is the place we're together. Iron sharpens iron. One puts 1,000, two 10,000. This is the laboratory. This is the celebration room. This is where we come together and encourage each other so that when you get out there, you won't be a wimp out there. You won't be a giant killer. Though some see you as a little boy, a little shepherd boy, they don't understand. You carry a rock. You carry the rock of his word. And when it's sent, it will take down the giant. Come on, somebody. Say, he's the God of the impossible. And he's doing the impossible. So he's doing the impossible for me today. I want you to have that expectation every day. Any day, anytime, any place. He could do something in you or through you that will blow your mind. We are impressed with what the devil has given to his people, but the tide's changing, and they're going to become impressed with what God is doing in it through his people. Before the rapture, I'm telling you, before the rapture, the day of the church is going to be the brightest at the end. The rapture is not an escape hatch. That's in conflict with the premise and understanding of the word of God. Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. I like to say it this way, with Jesus, the best is yet to come. If you thought, Joel 2 says that there is an army coming that has never been before, will never be after. And they're following the command of their commander-in-chief being Jesus. They will not break rank. I'm telling you, what you thought you knew about church is about to be changed because we are coming into a dimension. We are coming into the last day season. Only the Father knows. Only the Father knows. But it says when the time and the number of the Gentiles come in, it'll be over. And only the Father knows. And I'm telling you, things are about to change. He's getting ready to do a quick work, the Bible says. He's getting ready to pour out his spirit like it's never been seen before. We're getting ready to see demonstrations of power that God will use you to do the impossible. And you thought you had to have a goosebump. All you had to do is open your mouth and send the word and God will do the impossible. You're going to see people at your work healed. You're going to see people you don't even know get blessed and touched by God. Why? Because God is not done. His plan is not finished. He is doing something, and no devil in hell and no atheist out there or agnostic will stop the work of the Almighty God. He's got great plans for you. He's got great plans for you. You'll wake up and say, today I'm putting into action the plans of God. I haven't come to put Jesus on the tag of my plan. I've come to do his bidding. And you'll begin to see, I'm telling you, there'll be more miracles outside of the house of a service than inside. And there's going to be great miracles and demonstrations of God's power, because I want you to know when it's all said and done that everybody will have a real opportunity to make a decision on who they're going to serve. People don't follow people that just go to church and say, oh, you should do it. But when they see the light of what God's doing, you think what happened to Moses is great. I'm telling you, there's going to be a bright light. There's going to be an anointing. There's going to be a demonstration. I can't clarify to what it is, but I'm telling you, God's got big plans. He's got big plans. He's got big plans for you. He's got big plans for you. Every one of you. No one is exempt. He's got big plans for you. I'm telling you, he's got big plans. It's not just for the few or the full-time ministry. He's got big. Well, I can't. Don't tell me what you can't. Tell me what you're available. Let God do through you. Moses was a stutterer and could not speak plainly. But God said, I'll put somebody with you if that makes you feel better. But I'm still going to do something that people will know. He is the God. We are on to something, folks. Look, we are in a season right now. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of, say with me, he is the God of the impossible. Come on, shout it. He is the God of the impossible. Now let's make it personal. Look up to heaven and say, you are the God of the impossible. And you are doing the impossible for me today. Say, you're doing the impossible for my neighbor today too. If you believe that, give him a praise. Come on, give him a shout. Stir it up. He's the God of the impossible. All chains must fall. All demonic attacks must cease. All addictions must fade away. Every torment must leave. He is the God of all sufficiency. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We didn't come to go to church. We came to be church. We are the body of Christ. Woo! Now, we pray for people, but sometimes, you understand, you don't always have to pray for people. We've had people get healed just sitting. We've had people get healed walking through the hallway. We got to quit limiting God, boxing God. And, well, I need pastor to do this. No, if the Holy Spirit tells me to do it, we'll do it. But if he doesn't tell me to do it, I'm not doing it to make you happy. I love you, but I don't love you that much. You're important to me, but you're not that important. The place you are is a good place. I remember telling my daughter when she's little, Daddy, do you love me? I love you so much. You're the third most important person in my life. Third. I said, Jesus, number one, your mom, number two, and then you. I don't want to be third. I said, baby girl, third is a really good place. So don't complain about third. Just take 10 more seconds and just even, it don't have to be loud. Just lift your hands and just give him thanks for what he's doing, already started. I'm telling you, there are things that have been supernaturally deposited in people's lives right now. I don't even know what it is, but I know the Holy Spirit's telling me. He has made, just give him thanks for what he has deposited into your life. Some of you are experiencing it now. Some of you won't experience it till you get to work or till you get into your routine. Or you might be like that gentleman who began to experience the warmth of God's presence as the healing power. He'll heal you right where you're at. He's a healing Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He's a healing Jesus. He's a healing Jesus. Hallelujah. He's a healing Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Nope, the Holy Spirit said, not yet. We're going to just stay right in this atmosphere. He's literally healing people. Just stay in the atmosphere. Just keep your thoughts toward the Lord. He's healing somebody here. He's delivering somebody. He's restoring someone's mind right now in the name of Jesus. He's healing someone's lungs right now. They're beginning to take a deep breath right where you're at. If you struggle with emphysema or anything that cause your lungs to take a deep breath, you're healed in the name of Jesus. That's not me. That's the Lord. He is the healer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just let it out of your mouth. Just say, thank you, Jesus. I receive it. I receive it. Whatever he's doing, just tell him, you receive it. Say, it's mine. I'll take it. I'll take it. Thank you, Lord. He is so good. Devil will tell you, you don't deserve it. You don't. That's why it's all important about it. It's grace through faith. It's his obedience. We're accessing all the benefits of what Jesus did. Thank you, Jesus. Shh. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We glorify your name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking you about if you know about God. The Bible says demons know God and tremble, but they're not going to heaven. It's a real relationship. It's believing, receiving him as your Lord and Savior. So Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm going to pray. If you're here, you do not have, in the way you process, in the way you experience, in the way you understand, is Jesus Christ real to you? For many people, he's just an idea, a person in history. There's no real life. And there's many people that go to church in the world today don't know him. They know about him, but they don't know him. In the way you process and the way you experience, is Jesus Christ real to you today? If you don't know that, you can. To me, it's one of the greatest miracles. Coming into the family of God, leaving the kingdom of darkness, coming to the kingdom of light. It's a brand new creation. No one moving around. Give me just a couple more minutes. It's so important what we're doing. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you do not know him, just repeat this prayer I'm going to lead you in. It's a short prayer, but it will make an eternal difference. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day, rose again for me. Because I believe that I open up the door of my heart and life, and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, here's what I want you to do. I'm not here to embarrass people. I believe, and this is just my opinion, that somehow over the process of generations, the devil has taken out a tenacity out of the hearts of men and women of God. We try to keep everybody happy. Now, I'm not saying we should be jerks, not by any means, or be rude or be weird. No, not at all. But for some, you get saved, you mean well, but it's like a short period of time. You fall off the wagon, you fall to the first temptation, you give in to the first person that pressures you. But do you know that the Bible talks about there is a supernatural strength that God can give you on the inside? Not a physical strength, but the strength of who you are as an individual. So you can stand up against temptation and you can stand up and live for Jesus. So I believe that we got to bring tenacity back into the house of God and the men and women of God. And live for Jesus regardless of the pressure or the challenge or the cost. And so if you prayed that prayer, first, we want to celebrate it. But I want you to count to three. I want you to stand to your feet and stay where you're at. Now, your first reaction will be, Pastor, I'm not comfortable standing in front of people. I get it, but that's the point. If we don't stand up for Jesus in a room of people celebrating Jesus, how do you stand up for Jesus in a world that does not celebrate him? That will try to talk you out of serving him. And so there's something about crossing that line on the inside that I'm going to stand up for him, no matter what it looks like. So if that's you, at the count of three, some people are bold, move quick. Some people are shy, it'll help those people that are shy, encourage them. But if you prayed that prayer for salvation and meant business and just got saved, at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet, and then I'll speak a blessing over you, and then you can sit back down. 1, 2, 3. If you prayed that prayer, stand to your feet right now. Thank you. Second one. God bless you, sir. Thank you. 3, 4. God bless you. 5. God bless you. 6. God bless you. God bless you. 7. God bless you. 8. God bless you, ma'am. Hallelujah. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Come on, give him a praise. It's a big step. They said one in the portico. Stay standing. Welcome to the family of God. Let me speak a blessing. Church, raise your hands toward them as an agreement of this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person that's here standing up that just got saved. The word tells us heaven is celebrating. We thank you. We thank you. Now, according to your word, I ask you to give them a strength. Strengthen them with might by your Holy Spirit on the inside in the mighty name of Jesus. Every assignment of the enemy against them, I curse and bind it, and we cancel it in Jesus' name. And every diabolical person in their life that would try to hinder them and take them out of the house of God, we ask you to remove that connection and influence and bring new people into their circle. We bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Come on, give them a hand clap. Hallelujah.